petitions before our Heavenly Father.
Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints. And we forgot to do the glorification prayer. The Archbishop has asked that we pray this after every Holy Mass. So for the glorification of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, O August and most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise and thank you for the gift of the holiness of your faithful servant, Luisa Picaretta. She lived, O Father, in your divine will, becoming under the action of the Holy Spirit, in conformity with your Son, obedient even to the death on the cross, victim and host pleasing to you, thus cooperating in the work of redemption of mankind. Her virtues of obedience, humility, supreme love for Christ and the Church lead us to ask you for her gift of glorification on earth, so that your glory may shine before all and your kingdom of truth, justice, and love may spread all over the world. In the particular charisma of the Fiat Voluntas Tua, Sicut in Caelo et in Terra, we appeal to her merits to obtain from you, most Holy Trinity, the particular grace for which we pray to you with the intention to fulfill your divine will. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, Our Lady of America, Our Lady, Mother and Queen of the Holy Divine Will, Our Lady of Good Help, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of Holy Mother Church, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, thank you. So now we're on page 4, volume 4, 122402. Continuing in my usual state, I found myself outside of myself. I found our Lord, who had a cross near him, which was all braided with thorns, and he took it. And he placed it upon my shoulders, commanded me to carry it into the midst of a multitude of people to give proof of Jesus' mercy and to placate divine justice. So we see very clearly that the suffering that Luisa went through was for our benefit. Remember, in the worst of times was the flood. The world had to be purified. And then Jesus came in the worst of times and redeemed us. He shed every drop of his blood for our salvation. And now in these final days, Jesus is coming to set the world on fire. And it's symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The fire of their love is going to come upon the earth through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the world is going to be consumed in the love of God. Those that are afraid of this fire are with the devil. Those that are who are praying for this fire is basically the souls of the divine will. We're calling this fire down from heaven. So every time we say, come divine will, come breathe in my breathing, come divine will, come beat in my heart beating, the more we are like Elijah calling fire down from heaven. And God this is why we're here. God wants us to do this. So this fire that's coming, this divine justice that's coming, upon the earth, we are the ones that are calling it upon the earth. So you can't be afraid of this. You have to know that it is the love of God coming upon the earth of Jesus and Mary. And how glorious this is going to be, because this final fire is going to purify the earth so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. Volume 4, 312.03. My daughter Luisa. The same happened when the consistory of the sacrosanct Trinity, the mystery of the Incarnation, was decreed in order to save mankind. So it's the same thing that happened. And I, united with the Father and the Holy Spirit, accepted and offered myself as victim for man. Everything was union among the triune God, and we arranged everything together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But when I set to work, at a point came, especially when I found myself in the sphere of pains and opprobrium, loaded down with all the wicked deeds of creatures, in which I, Jesus, remained alone. I, Jesus, was abandoned by all, even by my dearest Father. This is when he said, Father, why have you abandoned me? Not only this, but loaded down, I was with all pains. I had to press to the Omnipotent One to accept, to let me continue my sacrifice for the salvation of all of mankind, the whole of mankind, past, present, and future. And I obtained this. And the sacrifice is still lasting. The sacrifice's pressure is continuous. And through it is all a pressure of love. And do you want to know where and how? In the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. In the sacrifice, it is a sacrifice that is continuous, is perpetual, and is the pressure I put on the Father to use mercy upon creatures and upon souls in order to obtain their love. And I find myself in the continuous contrast, dying continuously through all deaths of love. Aren't you happy that I let you, Louisa, participate in the periods of my very life? So here Jesus is showing us that it was the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that brought about creation. It's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that has brought about redemption. And now the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is bringing about sanctification. This is why the Holy Father, John Paul II, says, get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. Most of the world is blind to this. Most of the world does not want to hear this. Most of the world thinks that everything's going to be fine, everything's going to be dandy. And I've heard for I don't know how many priests, how many bishops, how many sisters, how many brothers who have said basically, we're going to live like this forever until we die. But what about the Our Father? We say, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. What about that prayer? And see, this is why this gift that God has given us is so essential that we begin to live it the way Jesus has asked us to live it. Not by thinking humanly, but to see things from a divine perspective. We have to understand that what Jesus is telling Louisa is the divine understanding. Most people think that, well, the economy is going to bounce back and everything will be fine and we'll live back like in the 50s. Everything will be happy. Everything will be beautiful. It can't be that way. You cannot kill 50 million babies in one country and think that God isn't going to respond. You can't have alternative lifestyles and make it legal and think that God is going to let this happen. You can't have the life of I think there's something wrong here. You can't have the life of living without God and not have consequences. And again, the simple thing: how many seconds does it take to make a million seconds? It's 11 days. How many seconds does it take to make a billion seconds? It's 32 years. How long does it take to make a trillion seconds? It's about 3,600 years. Okay, that's the difference between a million and a billion and a trillion. Our debt is close to $20 trillion. Okay, that means if it took 3,600 seconds to pay off a trillion-dollar debt, we would still be paying for King Tut, his bills today. You have to understand. There's no way. You have to understand this. There is no way that this can continue. It's built to be destroyed, and the reason they want to destroy it is to start a new world order without God. You have to understand this is that you can't print millions of dollars a month and think nothing will happen. Everything is about to collapse. This is important to know. It's nothing to be afraid of. But what is going to happen? I mean, if you look at the guidestones in Georgia that were put there, I think in the 80s, what does it say? It says the world can only hold 500 million people. The rest have to go. That's 6.5 billion people have to be eliminated. It's in the plans. It's in the works. You can't just think. See, this is why the computers are so important for the devil. People are playing just the games that the youth spend playing games. And this was, I think, 3 years ago or 4 years ago. They spent 6 million hours playing games. Now, that was about 4 years ago, 4 years ago. It's much, much more than that now. Everybody has a game. And it's wasted time. It's time that's lost, time that cannot be regained without Jesus Christ. So Jesus has to give everybody what they want. And, you know, you hear about the 3 days of darkness. What the 3 days of darkness is all about is God is going to give to the world what it wants. You want death? You're going to receive death. 3 days of darkness is 3 days in the tomb. Jesus says, the only thing I'm going to show you is the 3 days of Jonah, 3 days in the belly of the whale. This, what is coming is what we demand. You know, half the country wants to kill babies. Again, a country can't stand like that. More than that wants alternative lifestyles. More than that wants drugs legalized. You know, the last two plagues in the book of Revelation is drugs and homosexuality. The last two plagues. But where we are today, we have to understand either we are drawn closer to Jesus or we're going to be driven farther away from him. So, again, that's why Jesus says, aren't you happy that Louisa has participated in the sufferings of Jesus? Aren't you happy that Mary participated in the sufferings of Jesus? The three, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. In the Old Testament, it was Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. In the New Testament, it was Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. In the new era, what's going to happen is, I lost my train of thought. Somebody came out, there's a bug at the desk here. Okay, number 6, volume 6, 4:16-04. Continuing in my usual state, I found myself outside of myself, and I saw a multitude of people, and in their midst one could hear noises of bombs and gunshots. So again, Jesus takes Louisa to the future. People were dropping dead or wounded. Those who were left would flee up to a palace nearby, but the enemies would go up there and kill them more surely than those who remained outside. So I said to myself, how I wish I could see whether the Lord is there in the midst of these people, so as to say to him, have mercy, have pity on these poor people. Do you see what's coming? Do you see why the Holy Spirit has inspired the Pope to give us a year of mercy? Do you understand what's coming? Did you know what is the largest number of aliens, illegal aliens in the United States? Where do they come from? People would immediately say Mexico. That's not true. It's China. There are more Chinese illegal aliens in the United States than Mexican illegal aliens. That's a fact. That's a fact. What does that say? You know, you have to understand that, you know, our freedoms are disappearing very, very quickly, and it can happen overnight. And if it happens overnight, what happens at that point is the United States is gone. God protected the United States. He protected it very, very powerfully. He chose this nation. It's basically, you know, some of the mystics have said that it is a nation under God, all nations under God, showing what the future kingdom is going to be like, living in peace and harmony with God at the center. And since the 60s, we've driven God out. Since the 60s, it's not here. And it's falling very, very quickly. So again, as Louisa says, have pity on these poor people, Lord. That's going to be our job this next year. We're going to beg God to have mercy. Because after the time of mercy, Jesus said to St. Faustina, is the time of justice. And that's what's coming. The justice of God has to come to the earth. First, mercy. And if we accept mercy, we will be okay. And if we don't accept mercy, then the justice of God comes and God gives everybody what they deserve, what they long for, what they pray for, what they live for. And if we're living lives that are completely opposite of God, it's very, very important that we come back to God. That's why when we pray at night, we pray in the name of every human being. We say to Jesus, in the name of every human being, past, present, and future, Lord, I'm sorry for the way I've lived. I'm sorry for my words. I'm sorry for my thoughts. I'm sorry for my deeds. I'm sorry for failing to do what I should have done. In the name of every human being, so that you, Jesus, hear all mankind saying to you, Lord, I want you to be my Lord, my Redeemer, my Master, my Savior, my King, my God, my all. That's our job, to repair and redo in the divine will. It's not just our families. Jesus says the pagans do as much. They pray for their families. You know, we are called by Jesus to pray for every human being. Have mercy on these poor people, Jesus. What's happening in Europe is what, basically, that is the justice of God. You want a contraceptive mentality? Here it is. Now, people are coming into, I just saw a program yesterday on the news where people are coming into Italy and the towns are empty. There's no children. So what's coming in is the town is coming back to life, but it's going to be a life under Sharia law. It's not going to be what they have known before. The people are gone. I mean, how many, again, what is it, 40 years of aborting babies in the United States? Again, God's going to say, this is what you want, this is what you're going to get. You want this? It's yours. So Jesus knows the kingdom is coming. And so what is the 3 days of darkness? But God's saying, basically, I'm going to give everybody what they want. And he's going to say to the devil first, it's yours. Take what you want. My kingdom's coming. Take anyone and everything that you possess and get out. That's why the large majority of humanity is going to be gone. People are so far from Jesus. They're so far from the church. And our job is to say, have mercy on the poor people, Lord. Have pity on these poor people. And again, when we do this, God takes us at our word. So she says this, so I made my round. She's making her round again and again. And I saw Jesus as a little child, but little by little he kept growing until he reached the perfect age. And I drew near Jesus and I said, amiable Lord, don't you see the tragedy that is happening? Don't you want to make us make use of mercy anymore? Do you perhaps want to keep this attribute as useless, which has always glorified your incarnate divinity with so much honor, forming a special crown in your august head, on your august head, and bejeweling you with a second crown, so wanted and loved by you, which is souls. So here, Louisa says, what you, Jesus, want is souls. Have mercy on us. Don't you see what's happening? Where we are right now, things will begin like the first domino. If the first domino is hit, it's all done. All the dominoes go down very quickly. Brum, and it's done. That's where we are at this point. In history of man, we have so turned away from God. We have so left our Lord and Savior and Master alone. We have so left the church, left Mary, left our prayers, that Jesus says, I've got to do something greater than I've ever done before. And this is why the prayers of the divine will are so powerful. Our Lady said that to Saint, to Louisa. She said, I will teach you a new way of prayer, a powerful way of prayer that will conquer God. So what God is giving us in these horrible times is the divine will. And we have to learn how to live this. You know, if you're just listening to tapes, that's no good. Tapes don't do anything. You have to read this. You have to study this. You have to hear what Jesus Christ is saying to you. Every one of us is so important to Jesus. You will hear things that I cannot hear. I've always talked about my friends who were chemists. They see things from the chemical elements. They understand things from that perspective. I have no idea of what that is. But they understand it. They see the depth, the wisdom, the beauty of God throughout these elements that are all around us. Now, whatever you're like, Jesus has called you to be like that, unique from all other people. You have to hear Jesus Christ speak to you. You have to hear him tell you how to see things from your perspective. That's the sad part about people who write books about the divine will. You got to read this book. This is really important. This is about the divine will. Buy this book and you'll have it. No, we have the book of heaven. Read it. Jesus is speaking to you. You have the Virgin Mary and the Queen, the kingdom of the divine will. Read it. Our Lady is speaking to you. You have the letters of Louisa. Read them. Louisa is speaking to you. You have to begin to hear. You can't wait for somebody to tell you, or you'll wait forever. You have to see what this is about. And again, you have been called by God from the beginning of time to live at this time, to read the book of heaven. That's what Adam was to teach his children. And Adam fell. So Jesus comes as the new Adam. Mary comes as the new Eve and speaks this to Louisa. Louisa writes everything down. Why? For us who are reading these. This is, some people say, well, this is, you know, people 1,000 years ago said that it was the end of time. Well, it's not 1,000 years ago. If you look, everything is happening exactly as sacred scripture has foretold it was going to happen. Let's look at Israel. Never in 2,000 years has Israel become a nation. Never in 2,000 years has Jerusalem become the center of Israel. Never in 2,000 years has all the people come back to Israel. This is, again, not only that, but if you understand who Louisa is the one that has been given everything. The true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. She is the newborn. She is the firstborn. She is the mother of the second generation of the children of light. She is the one who Jesus says you cannot sever the umbilical cord to the womb of Louisa, because all your nourishment of the divine will comes from her. What Jesus and Mary breathed into Louisa. So as we link ourselves to Louisa, we are being filled with the knowledges and the truths of the divine will. And because of that, we are the ones that are calling fire down from heaven. We are the ones that are calling the third era to begin, the new era, the era of sanctification. Again, our God has got great, great plans, and he needs us. So you have to begin to live the way Jesus is telling you as you read the volumes. Again, you should always have a priest as a spiritual director so he can show you. Don't just say, I'm going to do this. Jesus told me, and I'm going to do this. This is what I got in prayer. This is what spiritual direction is. You go to the priest, you say, this is what I got in prayer, and I think God wants me to do this. What do you think? And the priest will say, yes or no. And that's the will of God. And like some people say during Lent, I'm going to fast during Lent. I'm not going to eat anything for 40 days or 40 nights. I'm not going to drink anything for 40. And I, you know, isn't that right, Father? And I go, what are you, nuts? You know, you got to eat. It's not to starve yourself to death. It's to fast. How does the church teach us how to fast? If you don't drink water after 3 days, you're going to start hallucinating. You say to the priest, this is what I got in prayer, and this is what I think God wants me to do. What do you say, Father? And it's yes or no. And whatever the priest says, it's yes or no. You know, even if you feel 100% this is what I'm supposed to do, and the priest says no, then it's no. You see, what's so important is that the docility, the surrender, the submission is to Jesus. Whatever you want is what I want. And anyone, I think it was St. Teresa said, if you're directing yourself, you will direct yourself into hell. I've had people say to me, well, Jesus has told me this. And I, after a while, would say, I don't think that's Jesus. And then after a while, I'd say, you know, you got to stop listening to these voices. And they would say, I love these voices. And I would say, well, if you continue to listen to these voices, you'll end up in hell. You can't do this. And then the next day, Jesus tells them that I'm a devil incarnate, that I'm not listening to Jesus who's speaking to this person. That's not the role of a priest to just... See, that's the danger of priests who do not understand spiritual direction. Well, so what did Our Lady say about me? What did she say? Oh, Our Lady said that she loves you very much. I heard that one time from this lady who said this to the priest, and all of a sudden Our Lady told the priest that she was supposed to preach on Sundays. So the pastor said, sure, Our Lady loves me, so Our Lady must love you. I mean, it's complete. The one thing, you know, every place I go, people come up to me with a note. Father, you got to read this. Our Lady wants you to know this. Father, you got to read this. Father, Jesus wants you to know this. Father. And I say, thank you very much. I put it in my pocket and it goes through the laundry. You know, what's very important is that they have a spiritual director. And if you have a vision, apparition, or locution, you don't tell anybody. You go to your spiritual director and say, Father, this is what I'm getting. And if he's a wise spiritual director, he'll say, write it down and tell nobody. Period. It does. St. Teresa says you never know whether that's Jesus or not. It could be the devil himself. You never know. And what you need is, this is why the supernatural, many people go nuts over the supernatural because they want to be close to God. And like sometimes people will get an odor or a blessing and a feeling, and they want that feeling, and the devil goes, well, I can mimic that, and it's not Jesus. I remember this one lady kept on telling me, she says she knew her name of her angel, and she told me the angel's name, and I said, that's not an angel, that's a demon. There's this quoted in sacred scripture. Well, the angel told me that's his name, and I went, well, it's not an angel. And she says, well, that's his name, and I said, here's sacred scripture. What's this name? Well, that's his name. What is this? She says, that's a demon. I said, that's what you're calling on. Well, that's what God told me. He told me this. I said, stop it. I mean, I don't understand. You have to... See, that's why spiritual direction is so necessary. And this is why Archbishop Pichieri said, if you have a prayer group, you have to have a priest. If you have the writings, you have to have a priest. Don't try to figure this out yourself. The devil doesn't want you to have this, and he will mimic it, he will twist it. For example, the twisting of the word, Christmas, the lie of Christmas is peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That is a total and complete lie. And you hear priests saying it during Christmas, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. No, it's peace on earth to whom? To men of God's will. That's where the peace comes from. Peace on earth to men of goodwill. And that's why you have to be careful. There's so many things out there where the devil wants to twist something, change something. And they like to take scripture and just modify it for their own lies and deception. Again, Jesus shows us this. He says very clearly, he wants us to enter into this life, but you need guidance. I remember when I was in the seminary, I was praying, and it came for about maybe a month or two, maybe 3 months. I'd come to this point in prayer, and there was a right and a left. There was a Y in the road. One was physical death. One was spiritual death. And I couldn't figure out which one, and it was killing me. So finally I went to my spiritual director, and I said, what do I do? I get to this point in prayer. What do I do? And he says, don't pray like that. And I went, well, that was real easy. It was, but you see, we get confused because of the supernatural. The supernatural will present itself, and like I'm saying, what is Jesus asking you? What is Jesus telling you? Then you go to your priest and you say, this is what I got in prayer. And it's just yes or no. It's like going to confession. Going to confession is the three B's. Be blunt, be brief, be gone. It has nothing to do with telling people, okay, a time for deliverance, time for sharing. It's these are my sins. Blessed be Father, these are my sins. I need forgiveness. Give me your absolution. Give me the church's absolution. And that's all it is. You go in, you say your sins, this are my sins, and you be blunt, be brief, be gone. And so you don't have a huge line. If you have to talk to a priest about something, you know, set up an appointment with them. It's not the time for the confessional. It's the time to go in and receive absolution. Now, okay, we'll get back to this. Now, while I was saying this, Jesus told me, enough, enough. Do not go any further. You want to speak of mercy? And what about justice? What are we going to do with justice? I have told you, Louisa. I repeat to you, Louisa. It is necessary that justice follow its course. So Louisa replied, there is no remedy. Then why then leave me on this earth that I can no longer placate you and suffer in the place of my neighbor? And since it is so, it is better that if you let me die. At that moment, I saw another person behind the shoulders of Blessed Jesus, and he told me, almost making the sign with his eyes, present yourself to my Father and see what he tells you. And so Louisa presented herself all trembling before the Father. See, this is very important. And as soon as the Father saw me, he told me, why have you come to me? And I, O adorable goodness, infinite mercy, knowing that you are mercy itself, I have come to ask for your mercy. Mercy on your very image. Mercy on the works created by you. Mercy on nothing else but your creatures themselves. And he said to me, so it is mercy that you want? But if you want true mercy, after justice has poured itself out, it shall produce abundant fruits of mercy. So Louisa's message to the Father was, give us mercy. Now, a little note there. Faustina was born basically a year later. And Faustina was born because of the prayer of Louisa. You are the secretary of my mercy, St. Faustina. I have chosen you for that office in this life and in the next life. That is how I want it to be, in spite of all the opposition that they will give you. Know that my choice will not change. So because of Louisa's prayer, divine mercy was given to us through Faustina. But Faustina was born only after Louisa prayed this prayer. Only after. And see, so when people say to me, oh, the divine mercy is everything, I say, well, if you've read Louisa, it's because of Louisa's prayer that St. Faustina came, basically was given to the church. Now, what does John Paul II do? John Paul II proclaimed divine mercy, proclaimed St. Faustina, and gave it to us in the year 2000. Because of this, it has prepared the world for divine justice, which is coming to us through Louisa. You have to understand the time we're in. It cannot continue like this. You cannot deliver babies alive and kill them, which they're doing. You know, this is very, very important that we understand what's happening. This diocese, Planned Parenthood started basically in this diocese from Maggie Higgins, who was basically Margaret Sanger. She wanted to give abortion, and Hitler took her writings and basically brought about the extermination of the Jews and the Christians. There was more Christians that were killed than Jews in the gas chambers. What we see is this diocese, from this diocese came numerous things. You have in Palmyra, New York, the Mormonism, Hinesville, New York, spiritualism. The Satanic Bible was written in Avon, New York. Maggie Hickens or Margaret Sanger came from Corning, New York. You have the feminists. Feminism started in Seneca Falls. You have pornography with Kodak. You have the first talkies from Auburn, New York. This is a very spiritually active area. And yet, the saints tell us where sin is, grace will abound. So we have great plans for this area. You know, because God is going to work powerfully here. They say the Indians, the natives said that the hand of God was pressed, forming the Finger Lakes in this area. You know, it's Bear Mountain where the Senecas were born. Basically, it says the serpent came out of the water and breathed fire on the mountain. That's why it's bare. There's nothing grows there. We have to see, even the first bishop of our diocese, Bishop McQuaid, voted against papal infallibility in Vatican I. And he was one of two that just walked out of Vatican I, saying we do not believe in papal infallibility. That was our first bishop here in this area. What is so amazing is even during the priest that led the world against Humanae Vitae, Charlie Curran, was from Rochester. You know, and we pray for everybody. But what is going to happen is it's going to be a new era that's coming. Even Bishop Sheen, when he was in Rochester, what happened? He not even 3 years as bishop, and he left a broken man. He was sabotaged completely in everything that he did, under the direction of a cardinal. You know, so here what we've seen is a terrible time that we're in right now. Yeah, a glorious time is coming. We can see this with our Louisa talking to the Father talking to her. You want true mercy? He says, after justice has poured itself out, it shall produce abundant fruits of mercy. So we know that why we're having this year is to get us ready for justice. And it's going to come. And then watch the mercy that's going to come upon the earth. Not knowing what else to say, I said, Father, infinitely holy, when the servants or people are in need, present themselves before their masters or rich people. If these are good, even if they do not give everything that is necessary for them, they always give something. And to me, who have had the good of presenting myself before you, absolute master, rich without limit, infinite goodness, don't you want to give anything of what this poor little one asks of you? Does a master perhaps not remain more honored and content when he gives than when he denies what is necessary to his servants? After that moment of silence, the Father added, for love of you, Louisa, instead of doing 10, I shall do 5. And having said this, they disappeared, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in several places of the earth, especially Europe, I saw wars and civil wars and revolutions multiply. So here, she, by praying this to the Father, diminished the war in half, okay, of what was coming upon the earth. Diminished it in half. Think about when we pray. This is why basically you have this in italicized. This is a very important prayer for us to pray during this year of mercy. I mean, you can go to Divine Mercy. You can go to St. Faustina. But if you're reading what Jesus tells Louisa about mercy, it's because of her prayer that we have Divine Mercy. And it's important that we recognize this. I love Faustina. I think she is a wonderful, wonderful saint. But she did not live in the divine will. She did the will of God. And that's what God is asking of us, is that we begin to understand this. This is very important that we understand why did divine mercy come to the world? Remember, it said a spark will set off the world in fire from Poland. Well, this spark is what John Paul II gave to the world through Faustina. It's a spark. The world cannot be the same. When John Paul II in 1998 said, Vene Creator Spiritus, the world cannot be the same. A century of praying for the Holy Spirit. And now mercy is here. And it's not by chance that the Holy Father has given us a year of mercy. It's very essential that we begin to pray the way Louisa prayed during this next year. It's essential. This is why we're going over this now. We've got a few weeks before that happens. I think it's a month from tomorrow, right, that this is going to happen. And we have to get ready. We have to do this because nobody else is going to do this. Nobody else knows Louisa. Nobody else knows what Louisa prayed to the Father about this mercy. Volume 6, 6:24. My daughter Louisa, human perfidy has reached such a point as to exhaust my mercy on its part, but my goodness is so great as to constitute daughters of mercy, so that on the part of creatures also this attribute may not be exhausted. So, as it's daughters of the divine will, but as daughters of the divine will, he wants us also to be praying for mercy. So out of the history of the world, this coming year within a month is essential that the children of the divine will also becomes daughters of mercy, to, as Louisa was here in the previous writing, to beg God to have mercy on us all. Otherwise, large parts of humanity will be lost. And remember Our Lady said of Fatima, she said, the souls that are on the verge of hell, they are in your hands. And okay, what are we doing? In our hands should be the rosary. And Jesus said to Louisa that the beads of the Holy Rosary is going to bring the kingdom. You know, how glorious is this? These are the victims who are in full ownership of the divine will. That's us. And again, why are we a victim? Because we're not giving life to our human misery. And having destroyed their own human will, in fact, in these souls, the container given by me, God, in creating them is in full vigor. And since they have received the particle of my mercy, being daughters, they administer it to others. It is understood, however, that in order to be able to administer the particle of my mercy to others, they themselves must be in divine justice. Who is divine justice but Louisa? Okay, if we want to really pray in the name of every, and we shouldn't miss a day, we shouldn't miss a moment in this next coming year to pray and to beg God to have mercy on mankind, we have to get closer to Louisa. This must be is the same must that Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. The Son of Man must be rejected, must be crucified, must die, and must rise from the dead. This is a divine decree. For us to really participate in this year of mercy, we must be in divine justice, which is Louisa. We must know her. We must know what she says. We must echo what she has prayed. And I, Lord, who can ever be in justice? And he, the one who does not commit grave sins and abstains from committing the slightest venial sin of his own human will. You see, this purity is what God is calling us to have. The purity of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the purity, the life of Mary. Again, Our Lady of America says that the children of America will bring purity to the world. That is the divine will to the world. We have to understand God has great plans for the United States. And at this point, we deserve to be annihilated. We led the charge on abortion. We led the charge on alternative lifestyles. We're leading the charge on drugs, making drugs free. We're leading the charge on all that is happening throughout the world. And again, these beautiful countries who have fallen into the lie that Lucifer has given, we're going to be punished for that. So we want to beg God, we want to plead with God, one with Louisa, to have mercy on us. Again, it's not just, oh, we're going to celebrate a year of mercy. No, we have to beg God, plead with Him, beg Him, have mercy on us, have mercy on us. Have mercy on my families, have mercy on my friends, have mercy on my neighbors, have mercy on my coworkers, have mercy on my parishioners, have mercy on everyone past, present, and future. That's Louisa. That is divine. That is being in justice. Volume 9, 9, 11, 10. My daughter, Louisa, justice and mercy are in a continuous fight, and the victories of mercy are more than those of justice. See, this is this is what's going to happen when we embrace this year coming up to really begin to live this mercy, begging God for this mercy. He says it's more than what's going to happen with justice. Now, when a soul is perfectly united with my divine will, the soul takes part in my actions ad extra. And as she satisfies with her sufferings, mercy obtains its most beautiful victories over justice. See, because of mercy, the justice will not be as severe. And since I delight in crowning all of my attributes with mercy, even justice itself, and seeing myself being importuned, where the soul is united with me in order to content Louisa, I surrender to Louisa. Because Louisa has surrendered all of her things in my divine will. So we're learning from Louisa to give everything to Jesus. So in your suffering, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering, it's always fiat. Always fiat. This is what God is looking for. And when we give our fiat and be peaceful, joyful, and happy in all situations, we are learning how to surrender to God. And this is why I do not come when I do not want to surrender, because I don't trust and I can resist. I can resist without surrendering. So what is your doubt? So here is he says to Louisa that he is going to come to us if we surrender. The other day I was looking for a title to my car, the title to the car. Yeah, and I couldn't find it. I searched the house. And if you've ever seen my house, it's so ordered. I have everything in perfect order, perfect harmony. And I said to the Lord, I said, you got to find this for me. I said, I have no idea where it is. As soon as I said that, I reached to my left and pulled it out of the drawer. And I went, you are amazing. I mean, well, that's what's happening. God is... In the divine will, things are going to happen, especially with this command prayer. Healings are going to occur. Justice is going to be basically put on hold because God wants mercy. And during this year of mercy, it's going to be very tough. I really sense that. It's with the downing of this first jet, you're going to see more of that happening. And it's going to be... You know, people are going to be terrified to fly. People are going to be terrified to get on trains. People are going to be terrified to drive to work. People are going to be terrified going to malls. And we will be peaceful, full of peace. We will be happy. And again, that's we have to understand that's what God is asking of us. So we'll end there in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.